Danny.
Joined.
Carl Peters. Hey there.
Joined.
Carl. Hello.
So far, it's just you, I, and the rest of the world.
Very good. And who is I?
This is Danny.
Oh, hi. How do you do, sir?
Hey.
Very good.
You're down in Georgia, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Well, actually, right now, I happen to be physically in South Carolina, but Georgia's home, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how's the weather down there this time of night?
A little bit cold. Had to take my wife to the airport at for a 5:40 a.m. flight this morning. Got to go pick her up at 11:30 tonight.
Ah.
It's just not a good time to be. It's about, in the upper 20s, I guess. And they'll get down to the low 20s tonight, which may not be cold for a lot of people, but that's front page news here.
Well,
so whereabouts are you located?
I'm in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania. It's about
a Digo operator.
Right now.
Hello,
operator.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you this evening?
Fine,
morning,
thank you.
Whatever.
We're all well. So if you're in the Poconos, you're no stranger to the cold weather, then?
No, I grew up in upstate New York, so we're okay. Somewhat used to lake effect snow and blizzard conditions.
I spent a year in Shanghai and a year in Tokyo without heat, but other than that, I haven't really had it too bad. And spent 4 years in Connecticut, that was enough.
Yeah, I did a spell in Shanghai as well.
Really?
February, for a month. This was a few years back. Okay. Working in a factory, obviously, with no heat except from, the rice cooker.
Which you began to value after a while, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, very good. I was there. Actually, I'd gone over and was writing the English news for Shanghai TV station back before, during, and for a brief period after the Tiananmen massacre.
Okay.
It was an interesting time because we didn't get to cover that story. So when they set up their own route, you don't have to explain it to me. I understand exactly.
Yeah.
But
I just see that Jupe sent through an email message, so I guess he should be coming on in a few minutes' time, I guess.
If anybody needs to be in a group dedicated to this purpose, it's him. He certainly put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into it the first time around.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm told that we should be having...
Ken Bauer.
Joined.
Welcome. So far, we've got Carl Peters, Danny Younger, and the Adigo operator on the line.
This is Ken Bauer. I've joined. I'm a consultant to the policy staff.
Hey, great to have you on board, Ken.
Thank you very much. Rob Hogarth and I work together.
Okay, good.
And I'm sure he'll be on in a minute.
Very well. Does that put you out in Southern California?
I'm sorry, was that for me, Ken?
Does that put you out in Southern California then?
Actually, I'm in Northern Virginia.
Oh, okay. Never know where people are going to show up that are on staff.
That's
Andrew McMeekin.
Joined.
Okay, I didn't catch the name. Who joined us?
It's Andrew McMeekin.
Hello there, Andrew. This is Danny. We've got Carl Peters online. We've got Ken Bauer online. Ken's from ICANN policy staff. And I take it in a few minutes. We should have a
Bruin.
Few more on.
Joined.
This is Garth Bruin on the line.
Hey there, Garth.
How are you, Danny?
Hey, fine, thanks.
Good.
Glad you could make it.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Do we know how many people are going to be joining today?
No, I don't think we do. We've had a doodle page up, and people have expressed that time and date preferences. Anybody's guess at this point.
Okay.
Even if people make sworn commitments, it's anybody's guess until they're actually there.
True enough.
Hi, Danny. It's Heidi.
Hello there, Heidi.
Hi. I'm still en route.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. We've got Ken Bauer holding down the fort.
Okay.
Garth Bruin is on the line with us, as is Carl Peters.
Good evening. It's quite a project you've taken on, Danny. We appreciate your willingness to stand in the middle there. It's not an easy position sometimes. Forever.
Yeah, you know, sometimes things just have to get done, don't they?
Indeed. Been working on projects in East Africa for 12 years now. I understand that has to get done rather than convenient to do.
Eric Durker.
Hey there, Eric.
Joined.
Hello, Danny. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
Very
Tell
good.
Us about your California weather. Cheer us up.
It's a little too hot. I'm sorry.
Bradley Thornton said in the Southern California desert just had 3 feet of snow a few weeks ago.
Well, I visited home, and that's Flagstaff, Arizona, and we definitely had 3 feet. Everybody was snowed in for 3 days.
Bradley was not ready for it.
Joined.
Hi, Rob Hogarth.
Hey there, Rob. This is Danny.
We've
got your fellow policy members, Ken and Heidi, on board. Carl Peters is with us, as is Garth Bruin and Eric Dierker so far.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
And you.
And having just received an email from Jupe Tiernstra, I guess we're assuming that he'll be joining the call sometime soon.
I believe I remember from several years ago the name was pronounced Yope. Is that correct? Does anybody have any confirmation or denial of that?
Well, in a couple conferences with Danny and Jupe and I, he said Jupe was just fine. But then, then he promised to buy me Kangaroo and he somehow forgot.
Okay. My wife is Chinese and puts up with all kinds of pronunciations for her name. So.
Same here, and my wife has the fortunate name of Hang, so that gets us a long way.
Okay.
So I'm not the only one with an Asian wife, huh?
My name is Jupe Tiernstra.
Hey, there, Jupe.
Joined.
Hello.
Hello,
long time since Melbourne.
Yes. Is it Milton?
This is Danny.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
good.
Who else are there?
We have Garth Bruin from Newsion. We have Carl Peters. We have Eric Dierker from the GA. And we are joined by ICANN policy staff, Rob Hogarth, Ken Bauer, and Heidi Ulrich.
Rob Hogarth.
Hey, don't forget me.
Ken Bauer.
Ken Bauer and Heidi Ulrich.
Heidi Ulrich.
Hi, I'm the new at-large person.
Heidi.
Yes, hi.
Okay, an at-large person. Well, I'm also a sort of at-large person. I'm sure you have followed the history of all this.
I'm looking forward to learning.
All right,
there's a lot of history we need to learn from and try not to repeat.
Since we're now a few minutes after the hour, why don't we at least get started with the participants that we currently have online. We'll take it slow, and if necessary, we'll repeat what has to be said. For starters, I wanted to thank everyone for joining the call and to bring to your attention the general timetable that staff and the board have laid out. Basically, what we are looking at is a set of four phases that will carry us between now till the June meeting. The first phase basically called for the GNSO Council to submit their restructuring implementation plan, and that was followed by a phase in which the existing constituencies have to submit confirmation documents to the board in advance of this upcoming February meeting. Now, the meeting of the board is on the 3rd of February, and prior to that date, every single current constituency is technically supposed to be reconfirming their constituency status. Perhaps we could get an indication from the folks on staff as to whether any constituency reconfirmations have arrived as yet.
Danny, this is Rob. This is Rob. To date, none have been received.
Okay. Well, we'll just bypass that phase for the moment then and move on to phase three.
Well, if I can, just for a second, clarify, the phases that the board has outlined operate not necessarily consecutively, at least I think as it's envisioned. I think there's certainly the goal, the final goal of the new council being seated by the June Asia-Pacific meeting.
Joined.
I think the key is that the board certainly expects existing constituencies agencies to get their documents in and the new stakeholder groups to get their documents in. As for new constituencies, that will be an open table for whenever groups want to petition the board. So just clarify that into the mix of your summary.
Okay, and the stakeholder group submissions technically should be in by the Mexico meeting.
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Which raises an interesting question that perhaps we can kick around for a bit. It seems somewhat awkward to be having stakeholder group submissions happening somewhat in advance of new constituencies actually coming together and gelling, because you would think that those folks would want to be part and parcel of any decisions made on the stakeholder group organization and structure.
It sounds a little backwards.
So aren't we putting the cart before the horse here?
I guess it depends on your perspective, because I've heard from folks who are putting together stakeholder group petitions who are saying, gee, let us get those structures in place before new constituencies are formed. So I think it's one of those six of one, half a dozen of another in terms of the perspective, in terms of where you are either as a constituency or a stakeholder group. My impression is, and I can't read the board members' minds, but my impression of the process was that the view was new council members certainly could not be selected prior to the stakeholder groups forming and bringing everybody together and allocating or apportioning their seats for each stakeholder group. So it was very important from the board's perspective to have those formations or those structures essentially in place and formed so that there would be time for them to conduct their elections or apportionments or wherever that was going to take place by June. There may have been a sense, although I can't articulate it, and it certainly wasn't in my head, where I think there was an expectation that if that timetable were in place, it would certainly provide an incentive for new constituencies to quickly come together and declare their intentions to the board about forming. So I agree that there, you know, depending upon the perspective how you would look at it, you might ideally want to have new constituencies in place, but I think the sense also was that that will be an ongoing process from now until, you know, a new review takes place, and so new constituencies could literally form at any time. And the critical element was for a stakeholder group structure to be in place and approved by the board that allowed the flexibility for new constituencies to join at any time.
Okay, so now we clearly have a case, Rob, where we have incumbent parties, such as the NCUC, that has already submitted a charter proposal. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Cheryl Preston, in addition to her own notice of intent, has also submitted a charter proposal. So there are currently two groups within the non-commercial world that have submitted stakeholder group proposed charters.
If I can clarify that, there has been no formal stakeholder group proposal, or let me rephrase that, petition submitted yet to the board. Milton Mueller and a number of other folks on the NCUC have gotten together and drafted a version of a charter that they propose to submit to the board for public review, comment, and board review and approval, but that has not yet taken place yet. They're still in their drafting mode, and as I understand it, Cheryl Preston has presented to the NCUC an alternative to that. I'm not sure where that sits politically in terms of that group. You note an interesting sort of challenge, and that is the process that the board has approved doesn't specifically identify who submits the stakeholder group petition. And so I, you know, from a technical standpoint, if you were a lawyer, you might say, well, gee, you know, anybody has standing to submit a stakeholder group petition. I think at this point, the conventional wisdom, certainly from the NCUC, is, well, we're in place, So we certainly have standing as an existing constituency to file, but that's not something that is certainly technically clear from the board resolutions to date.
All right, but we do have, Rob, a recent board resolution that calls for representatives of potential new non-commercial constituencies, members of the ALEC/at-large community, and members of the GNSO to pretty much get together and hash out a recommendation for the non-commercial stakeholders group charter. And the board was expecting that by the 24th of January, which was a fairly aggressive schedule.
Yeah, that, if I may, was one aspect and highlights some of the challenges of this entire GNSO instance transition, both from a community perspective, a board perspective, and also a state perspective. It's trying to understand the framework and the process that is not strictly specified, I think, from a board perspective, to try to maintain some flexibility. The board resolution in December, as I understand it, was much more focused on the question of what is the role of individual internet users in the GNSO broadly. And then, as you note, there's that additional element of, well, how does that actually translate in terms of operations of the non-commercial stakeholders group and also, by extension, the commercial stakeholders group as well, under the theory that, you know, potentially individual internet users could also be a part of that stakeholder group. So while I agree that they certainly overlap and there is considerable gray area in between, the resolution from December, I think from a perspective, is looking for an answer to that broader question and was an effort on the part of the board to involve more players in the discussion and in the process. You're certainly right about the deadline and the timetable. And my understanding is, if you guys aren't going to be submitting something, others are, you know, talking about additional time to do that work.
Yes, we've already been made aware of the recommendation on the part of the chair of the ALEC and the chair of the GNSO to put together a team of some 14 people to further discuss matters and to request an extension of time. And hopefully we'll be able to participate with that group as they self-identify. The final question that I would ask staff at this point simply is, you introduced within the last day a new draft of the stakeholder group charter. Could you just briefly spell out to the group why you felt there was a necessity to make a revision to the initial document?
Yes, and if I miss anything, I'll invite Ken Bauer to follow through in case I'm not getting it all. I think the sense is that at the very beginning of the process, the board said, you know, we aren't dictating how a lot of these processes are going to work. We direct the staff to provide as much guidance and assistance to the community to help in the formation of these various structures. The staff took it upon themselves last fall to start together templates, essentially, for the community, both from a constituency perspective and from a stakeholder perspective, based on a review and analysis of, you know, what the GNSO improvements report said, what the recommendations the board put together and approved in Paris in June said, and essentially to try to help folks organize themselves and give a little guidance and direction. I think it's fair to say that the templates are, you know, guidelines. We aren't, as a staff, looking to dictate any specific approach to things, but we're trying to respond to feedback and dialogue that we're having with the community. I think what we saw with respect to the stakeholder group templates is that the first effort with respect to guidance from the staff perspective ended up getting a reaction, I think, that we saw with respect to the NCUC initial draft, where it seemed to be a very heavy bureaucratic structure. And as we looked at what the board had recommended and adopted from the GNSO improvements report, really a much lighter structure. And I think this subsequent document is an attempt on the staff's part to say, be careful here. What we're noting is that, you know, in reaction to and in looking at sort of the situation, the community may be looking to develop some very heavy bureaucratic structures at the stakeholder group level, and interpreting that original template as replacing the constituency structure that ICANN, certainly the GNSO, has been following for a considerable period of time now. And this version of the template tries to emphasize and give further feedback that the board resolution and the recommendations it adopted anticipate a fundamental role for constituencies, and that folks should be very careful about creating too much of a heavy bureaucratic structure with respect to the stakeholder groups.
Got it. Okay, thank you so much for that. We've basically got one primary item on our agenda today, and that's really to talk about where we all are at with regard to new constituency formation efforts. And I'd like to begin by asking Jupe if he'd be good enough to share with us his thoughts, since I know he's been through a process that's taken him years to get to a certain point. So he's certainly probably given more thought to this matter than anyone else in the group. Jupe, where are we at with regard to an individual registrant constituency? How do you see this thing playing out?
Oh, yeah. Denny, what I would think is that the people who want to be listed as presenters of the petition for the new constituency formation get together on an easy platform where actually things can be written. And I would suggest, that I invite the people who wish to be invited at this effort to a Facebook, entry group, and we continue from there. I would suggest that we would follow the kind of charter that was devised by the members who set up the IDNO in the past, and that we change whatever needs to be changed with regards to requirements that the board has, and with regards to lessons that we have learned about charter provisions that may not be workable. What do you think of that?
That sounds like an excellent way forward. I would note that within the ICANN bylaws proper, when you're talking about petitioning for a constituency, they're really only looking for two things. The bylaws simply ask for an explanation of why the addition of a constituency will improve the ability of the GNSO to carry out its policymaking work, and why the new constituency would adequately represent the stakeholders it seeks to represent. So at the bylaws level, there's not a massive amount of requirement to be met. It seems like they've actually gone out of their way to make it as simple as possible.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't changed the bylaws on that point, actually. Yes, you're right.
The
same argumentation.
I do like the idea of entry approach. And I think if you could post for us the prior charter with any recommendations or modifications you immediately got in mind, that would probably be a big help to the group.
I think I have posted to the GA list or to this new constituency list the URL where it can be found. But I can do this again. As a platform, I would say then the new constituency discussion list. And I will post that there again. I have not yet undertaken any revision of the old charter because I feel that we should talk it over with among not just myself, but among other people who have been involved and had a lot of experience with the formation of a new constituency in the past.
Jupe, we've got Andrew McCutcheon on the call. He was An early follower of the IDNO process as
he
well,
was,
as far
yeah.
as I remember.
Good to see him here.
Andrew, your thoughts?
It's pronounced McMeekin.
Sorry, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
G'day, Jeep. Yeah, I think we, I mean, I personally feel at this point that we should probably be trying to get, I know the word internet user has been used a fair bit. I tend to dislike the term user. I sort of lean more towards participant. That might be just a personal preferencing there, but I think it would be good if we got sort of more of the general public, I guess, yeah, you'd call them internet users, involved in the whole thing, not just domain name owners. I almost see domain name owners as consumers. You know, they're consuming a domain name.
No. Andrew, I'm so sorry, but I disagree here with you. I think domain name registrants are producers. They produce a domain name, and the registry provides the service of registering it for the general, for the world to see and access.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, they get more of an immediate impact when there's policies that affect domain names.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think there's also people who might be looking at getting a domain name, and these policies will affect them as well. So I think it would be a good idea to also have a more general inclusive thing of people that, you know, are your internet users.
I would strongly concur based on the fact that there are more users than there are all the other constituency members put together by far, and that they are completely dependent upon the policies and have no way to affect how they receive the internet except through such a group as it might form.
Who is speaking here?
Oh, that was Carl Peters. Me, I'm sorry.
Oh, Carl, sorry. Yeah.
I haven't lost the vision we had many years ago. We just kind of, well, we know it all happened and it wasn't you. It just didn't come together. But,
we are repeating a very old discussion. I thought this had been hashed out, actually. It's sort of, yeah, I was also disturbed that when Rob said that the board had actually considered the participation and representation of individual internet users. I think the board should really have focused on the domain name registrants because they are direct taxpayers and providers of revenue to ICANN, and they are the ones who should be considered absolutely first when it comes to representation.
This is
about
Eric.
Business or is it about representation? I mean, do I have to pay money to ICANN before I have a voice?
You have to pay money to ICANN in order to register anything in the DNS. And so that makes you a stakeholder in what ICANN does and in ICANN's policy making.
But isn't ICANN's responsibility to the internet community? Their income comes from the DNS, from the domain owners and stuff like that, but their responsibility is to the public.
This is Garth Bruin here. I just want to throw in that without the ordinary internet user, the domain, you know, consumer would be non-existent. I mean, you have to have end users in order to access the domain names and support the registrants.
Similarly, you have to have registrants in order to have any registry.
Yeah, this,
and ICANN is about the control of the DNS and the registries,
this
not
is
about general internet policy politics.
This is Eric, and I sure thought over the last 6 years the conversations I had been hashed out and that it was clear there were two constituencies that needed to be formed. No questions asked. The user, ultimate consumer, and the registrant middleman. That those were two separate groups and they needed to be two constituencies. Okay, Eric, speaking of that, I'd like to get Garth back on because you actually do raise a very, very good point here. Garth has an organization called Newgen, which is highly respected in its spam mitigation efforts. And there are other noble organizations out there, such as the Anti-Phishing Working Group, the Messaging Anti-Abuse Working Group, the guys that formerly worked at Castle Cops. Garth, could you give us a sense in that hands-on community what the current sentiment might be with regard to a constituency effort?
They feel really left out. The voice of the ordinary consumer, the ordinary internet client, instead of using the word user, they really feel disenfranchised. And they're the people who give registrants, you know, money so they can buy domain names. I mean, people get domain names to become a business and to make money in most cases.
All right. Now, what is it going to take to get your group, MOG, APWG, others that are hands-on specialists in this area to get a constituency put together? Is there something that we can be doing to help facilitate the process?
Yeah, I think that the seeds are there. We're talking to these people constantly. My father will be speaking at MOG in next month, and we can get in touch with all these people and bring them in. I mean, it's important because they represent the consumers who don't really understand how the bureaucracy works.
Okay.
My problem with this approach to bring internet users in, excuse me, this is Joe, is that it also expands the role of ICANN into fields where it was originally never supposed to go. ICANN should limit its role with the technical functioning of the DNS. And other political considerations have to be threshed out either on the national level or on the United Nations level. And ICANN should not be pushed into these roles or usurp them.
Well, this is Garth Thrun again.
Garrick Durker.
I don't think that
left.
We're talking about a pure democracy. We're talking more of a kind of a republic, a representative situation. I mean, where the consumers would go through these advocacy groups to be able to access them, the ICANN bureaucracy.
Yes, but should they talk to ICANN or should they talk to national governments?
Well, I mean, I think in some ways...
I agree that they need to be represented and that the structure should be made for them. But
Cheryl,
is ICANN the place?
Right. But
joined.
I mean, if you're an internet consumer, if you're an internet client in some location that does not have a responsive government, but there's no one to listen to you, but then you do have these consumer advocacy groups and internet advocacy groups who will represent them, and I think that they should be used properly.
Yeah, I think I heard Cheryl coming on the line. Is that
yes.
You, Cheryl?
Yes. I'm sorry to be late.
Quite all right. Which Cheryl are we talking to? We have a...
Oh, Cheryl Preston.
There we go. Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. Cheryl, for your benefit, we have on board Andrew, Carl Peters, Garth Bruin, Joop Tjernstra. Eric may have just dropped off the line. That was Eric Dierker. From ICANN policy staff, we have Rob Holgarth, Ken Bauer, and Heidi Ulrich. And
great.
Now that we have you here, can you bring us up to date as to what's going on within the NCUC and with regard to your own petition and your own constituency formation efforts?
Yes, I have about 14 people, most of whom are academics, but I have I Keep Safe and a couple of other organizations. And I was until last week thinking that I wouldn't need to send in my petition until they got a stakeholders group formed. But they tell me I should go ahead and finish that. So that's what I'm doing, is I'm finishing the charter and for the cyber safety constituency, and we should be able to get that sent in next week.
Okay, you're calling it cyber safety. In addition to academics, are you planning on reaching out to other groups that have got the safety backbone?
Yes, I've talked to Families Online Safety Institute, and at the moment, they think they're on too many things, but that's a possibility. I do have the I Keep Safe Coalition from Washington, D.C., and the Girls Against Porn. Let me look at these organizations. I've talked to somebody at ECPAT International.
And in terms of how long it, you're the only one in this group, Cheryl, so far that's actually been through the drill, that's actually filled out a petition, has actually tried to work up a charter. Can you tell us a little bit about the process? Like, how long did it actually take you to complete filling out the petition to your satisfaction, and how much more time was invested to try to come up with a charter?
Well, I did the notice of intent to form, and then I wrote a proposed charter for the non-commercial stakeholder group that I tried to negotiate through the NCUC list. And so I have all kinds of provisions already written that I'm putting into the constituency charter. And it took me a week or two.
Okay, so there's hope for us.
Right.
All right. While we, before you join the call, we were talking about a couple different things, but in particular, there seemed to be a question between the relationship between users and registrants, and whether in fact there's a space for both communities within the GNSO. And I'm simply reminded that the last board resolution, or one of the last ones, talked about attempting to set up things in a non-duplicative fashion so that we aren't essentially replicating what's already been done in the ALEC and the RALOs. Now, I'm assuming that at your end, none of the parties that you are bringing in are currently associated with, I guess, what I can't call its at-large world at the moment, at least accredited at-large structures.
No, they're not.
Okay, so they're all different parties. All right.
Right.
All right, Carl, would you like to give us an update of the efforts that might be going on with the TLDA at the moment? How far are you along in your work?
The TLDA, of course, some years ago did apply. In fact, that's the reason that the organization was originally put together, was to apply for such representation. It was denied some time ago. I became involved in it very shortly after that, and I don't really know the whole history from before. The entire board has agreed to the idea of pursuing the idea, but we have not gotten any brass tacks down yet.
Okay, fine. I do recall back in 1999, prior to Berlin, the TLDA submitted a petition. And Yop, your memory is probably better than mine on this point, but I take it that the TLDA petition was not acknowledged by the board to the same degree that the IDNO's petition was not acknowledged.
Probably different reasons.
Danny?
Yes?
I'm not really sure if any formal petition of that kind was submitted in Berlin. I don't remember that at all, actually. The board, anyway, did not consider the petition that was made for the IDNO at that time. And so they didn't come. They just recognized the seven constituencies that that they had come up with themselves.
Okay, because I do recall in the early DNSO paperwork, having seen the petition from the TLDA, but I
maybe that was later.
Knew about the status.
I'll research that for you, Danny, and get you some details if you want to have it for the record.
That would be helpful. Anybody else have particular thoughts in mind that they think we ought to be discussing today?
Danny, this is Rob. If I can throw out a couple of thoughts in general.
Please.
Thank you. Welcome, Cheryl. I appreciate you joining the call as well. I jumped into, you know, doing clarification on the phases, and I didn't really sort of give you guys the benefit of sort of a step back in the context where a lot of these pieces are fitting together. In the context of new constituencies, it's been interesting for Ken, Heidi, and I to observe things. just so that you guys have some perspective, I've been at ICANN just a little bit over 11 months. Ken came on board to help us in a consulting role only about 6 months ago. And Heidi, I think you've been with us for a little less than 2 months.
So three weeks.
Okay. I'm sorry. You've caught on so quickly. I've already given you much more credit than you deserve. So I think that, you know, from our perspective, it's very helpful, and we really appreciate being invited to listen in on this call, because you guys have the benefit of probably well more than a decade of experience, and many of you were involved with ICANN when it started. I think at least what we have picked up is that one significant measure of this GNSO improvements effort was a recognition by the Board Governance Committee and then ultimately by the board that, for better or worse, the effort or at least the growth and effort within the constituency community to bring more people into ICANN over the years had stagnated, in that, you know, there were these six constituencies sitting in the GNSO, and that sort of existing framework was not a friendly one or an open one, at least from a community perspective, for more people to join. Even though, as you point out, Danny, the bylaws have provided for someone to submit a petition for a new constituency at any time. And I think a real effort of this GNSO improvements transition, and certainly something that's been drilled into us as new staffers and consultants, is that there is a big push to get more people back involved in or newly involved in ICANN through these constituency structures. And as a result, we now have, I think, a renewed opportunity, significant new interest for a lot of groups that may not even have existed before to come together and form. And so the first overall message is, to the extent that you guys even have concepts on a whiteboard or something in your office, or something that you need to dust off from 5-10 years ago, now is really an opportunity where the community is watching, the board is engaged, there's this transition to a new structure. Now is a really ideal time to get that information in. And I think, you know, based on Cheryl's experience and what we've seen, her notice of intent to form triggering activity within the ICANN infrastructure is, at the earliest possible opportunity, if you guys have a concept idea, 5 people or 50 people interested in forming a new constituency, getting a notice of intent to form is a very useful, important first step, not necessarily technically from a bylaw perspective, but to get the community interested, to get the community aware that you're out there and that you're interested in participating again. So that's the first thing. The other item that I'd just like to clarify is in the context of this December board resolution, and then I'll shut up, is this concept of users and registrants was largely a product of a special working group that the board produced in Paris and basically said to the GNSO community, you guys haven't been able to agree on what this new structure of the GNSO council is going to look like. Sit yourselves in a room, lock the doors, and come up with a proposal in 30 days. And I was the staffer assigned to that working group effort. And the issue came up in that group that the BGC recommendation identified registrants as being the participating entity, sort of the fundamental entity within the non-commercial stakeholders group, and by extension, the commercial stakeholders group. And that working group, with a wide variety of community participants, came back and said, we don't accept that. You're limiting things considerably by limiting participation to registrants. We think, board, that you should step back from that and recognize that individual internet users, and that was the term they used, should be active and ongoing participants in the GNSO effort.
Rob, if I may ask, who were the people on that working group?
The working group consisted of a representative from each of the existing constituencies within the GNSO.
No wonder. Yeah,
The ALAC, the GAC, and the nominating committee appointees.
Okay.
So that was, so yeah, and I guess you have the better perspective in terms of what politics sort of drove that,
of course,
that consensus.
Yeah.
But it is
a guarantee to paralyze the constituency. If you draw all internet users in, you guarantee distraction of purpose, political infighting between totally different groups. I mean, there is nothing more amorphous than an internet user. It is the same as an air breather or a seawater swimmer. It is,
well,
honestly, I mean, this is a complete effort to sabotage any meaningful input of domain name registrants into ICANN.
That's a very useful perspective to have shared with the broader community, because I think, at least as I've observed it in various board discussions and things like that, it seems to be that there is that that tension, that there are members who want to retain just that limitation on registrants. And then a significant...
It's not a limitation. How many millions of registrants are there? It is, the registrants are the people that are far more representative of having a stake into what ICANN is doing than internet users. It's obvious. And it is the same conclusion that Carl Bildt's committee came to. And these were high-powered, politicians who understood what they were talking about. Carl Bildt is at the moment Minister of Foreign Affairs in Sweden.
And that perspective...
You read his report.
I
mean, the board rejected the report in Accra, and they paid $400,000 to have it made.
Understood.
And why did they reject it? If you read the discussions of the board meeting in Accra, you will see what was the motivation of the rejection. It is very, very clear that any effort that brought in by the existing constituencies who are all on the same side of the fence practically when it comes to contracts with domain name registrants want to keep out the domain name registrants because it might not be all that beneficial for their future contracts.
I appreciate that perspective. I was just sharing the lay of the land, not advocating a particular point or not, but I appreciate the perspective that you offer on that. The other aspect of this is that, and I think this is a significant part of the board resolution, and Danny, I'll send you the link for the staff report that's on the ICANN webpage. The other significant part of that board resolution was there's an ongoing ALAC review. There's ongoing other reviews within ICANN, and this issue of the role of internet users crops up in those reviews as well. And the discussion about what the role of the individual internet user from the board perspective has to be resolved from a strategic perspective. And with all these various piece parts and different reviews touching on the issue, it became, I think, very clear to board members that they could be making a decision in one review that would have, a contradictory impact based on the decision in another review. And so it's a real effort, I think, on the part of them to say, hold on, time out. We've got, efforts going on in a number of different areas, different reviewers providing their suggestions. Let's find a way to handle this in one fell swoop. And so we have consistent decision-making across the review processes. And in particular, I think the driver of this initial effort involving the ALAC and the NCSG is the fact that if, and I'll emphasize that term, Hupe, if the debate does get down to, well, do you open up the NCSG and the commercial stakeholder group to internet users, does the ALAC get two bites at the apple in terms of representation within ICANN?
I've heard exactly the same argument 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, and that's the point. Heidi and I are seeing these all for the first
bites
time.
Of the apple.
Right.
You think there will be over-representation, in other words? Look at
it. I don't have an opinion one way
or another.
No,
but I mean, I'm asking you to have an opinion now.
Thank you.
It's two bites of a non-existing apple.
Clarification.
Okay. Can I say something about internet users?
Go ahead, please.
Yes, they are like people that breathe air, but if we were a global environmental health organization, we would care about those people. And we can't, we obviously identify large groups of common characteristics among Internet users. We know, for instance, that lots of Internet users use it to shop, and therefore fraud in the consumer sense is an important issue. We know that lots of children, teens, are being taught IT skills and technical skills and Internet usage, even in countries where their parents haven't a clue. We know that lots of families are using Internet in their home. Any kind of demographics we do tells us the main groupings of Internet users, and they have an interest in the process. They are the people. Maybe they're not the registrants and they're not making money on the Internet, but they're the ones who are paying the money for the Internet.
Cheryl, if I may ask you, what specific aspect of what ICANN does would be of interest to the people that you would want to represent?
Oh,
what very specific ICANN policy could be, could they promote or discourage or whatever?
Well, frequently the NCUC writes requests that ICANN maintain rules that don't allow any kind of walled gardens, regulations, protections. They have come out with respect to the new GTLDs with anybody who's got the money ought to be able to put in a name. Families don't want their Internet usage having to go through .fuck, for instance. There's the IDN. NCUC has resisted that, insisted, or, well, they've written a position paper saying that IDN should not be allowed to join the root unless they specifically agree that they won't do any kind of censoring, content screening, filtering. I've written a paper published about 16 different ICANN issues in the last year that have enormous implications for the ability of governments and families to make choices in terms of what they want in their homes as Internet service. And, you know, if we're talking about free access and so on.
I hope you realize, Cheryl, that ICANN, as a non-elected political body, has no rights to create global policies on any of the issues that you mentioned.
But they can. I mean, the NCUC has certainly petitioned about the IDNs and about net neutrality and ICANN rules on access and control. And I don't think, I agree with you that ICANN isn't going to be making these policies. I think it's important, though, that ICANN not make structural and architectural choices that are going to impair the ability of governments and families and maybe a global governance organization or treaty.
Yeah, I understand this is a huge debate, and I think maybe through the non-commercial constituency, this debate is valid to be held at ICANN. But
Well, this is Garth Bruin again. I mean, obviously, yes, the registrants pay for ICANN. I mean, that's where the money flows, and it doesn't flow directly to ICANN from the ordinary consumer, but ICANN and the Internet was not created so registrants could talk to each other. You know, it's the unseen, you know, the unheard player in this is the consumer, and they're the largest one. And you don't want to let them all run in the room at the same time, because obviously that's anarchy. But you have to give them, you have to respond to their demands.
All right. So let's bring people up to speed as to what's going on with the possibility of a consumer advocates constituency, because so far, at least in the working group, we've had three individuals that have expressed strong interest in getting something along those lines going. And that would be John Levine with his COS organization, Bo Brendler with Consumers Webwatch, and who's the professor now? His name escapes me. Representing consumersinternational.org with 220 affiliate organizations.
I think that was Jeremy Malcolm.
Jeremy Malcolm, there we go. Thank you.
Just 1 second. There's also a consumer protection organization in the UK that I have contact with that would be very interested in being involved in a consumer protection constituency.
Can I just, this is Heidi, and
hi,
just
Heidi.
For a little bit of background, in a previous life of mine, I was working with Consumers International in London, and worked with Bo on his web watch on doing a study on web credibility. So I'm very familiar with Consumers International and the consumer movement. So I would be happy to talk with others, Garth, with you and with Danny and with Bo, of course, to see, and Cheryl, on how the consumer constituency might be able to contribute more or be more involved with ICANN.
I mean, I don't think that, this is Garth again, I don't think that the ordinary consumer wants to be involved in the, you know, particular digestive functions of ICANN, but they do want certain things to happen. And, you know, and I think it's our responsibility in our position to guide them through, to navigate them through the bureaucracy and help them with that. You know, we don't want to give everybody the same exact equal voice, but we want to give them a voice.
Yeah, and I think that, I agree, but I think you could also divide the consumer organizations into two if you, perhaps. One are the consumer, very traditional consumer organizations that, like you said, Garth, don't understand the bureaucracy or the details of the technical bits of the Internet, while there are other more technically savvy organizations, for example, Bose. Now, also, there's the Transatlantic Consumer Dialogue, the TACD. Now, they also have a working group on intellectual property where there is some work on the Internet going on.
And then the other thing that we've got to think about is that in the past, the NCUC was an organization that at one point had a membership in excess of 120 organizations. And some of them were rather significant and sizable, including EFF and CDT, quite a few actually, that are no longer in the mix. Their roster right now, last time I checked, was down to around perhaps 35, 40 members. Cheryl, you might know better than I at the moment.
They only got 22 votes last year and 24 votes this year after sending out emails encouraging participation. And I've tried to look up. They won't give me a list of current members, but I've looked up the ones that are on the webpage, and a lot of those organizations don't exist. There's no contact person like ACLU. I mean, you have to...
Okay, well, with regard to the ACLU, I know the individual that was their New York City contact person, so I'd be able to help you out with that one.
Yeah, so a lot of people just have fallen off the list, and some of them don't even exist anymore.
Okay, but again, that brooks the question, should this particular group be engaged in reaching out to those parties that were formerly a part of the process? Most of whom dropped out after the 2002 reform process.
I think so. I
would think so, and I would like to also think that staff would be engaged in outreach to those other organizations that in the past have taken it upon themselves to write into ICANN in the public comment periods. Rob, can you give me any sense of how list building is coming along so that we might engage in a further publicity and outreach campaign to these groups?
Certainly, Danny. Thanks. Yes, with your inspiration, I've done some internal research in terms of the capability and, you know, potentially the ICANN policy for how to handle that. And the word I've gotten back is that we can clearly identify who has submitted the comments, can pull out their website addresses. The challenge is the concern about sharing that information externally just because of expectations for people when they submit comments and, you know, hiding their contact information and the rest. So I'm still trying to
resolve that issue. But the general view is that, yes, we can get access to that information. Yes, we can pull those lists together. And, yes, we can contact them. It may need to be, and something you and I can discuss further, is how we do that just from a logistical standpoint so that everybody's comfortable and we don't get accusations that, you know, ICANN is trafficking in people's private information or email addresses or the rest. And I think if we can work that out, that there we can clearly create some means of communication with those folks who are comfortable and we're getting the word out to them.
Okay, and then the follow-up question that I would ask, Robert, is just using the new GTLD process as an example. We have what's called a communications period scheduled that is supposed to publicize to the world the opportunity to have a new top-level domain. So basically, we're talking about a massive publicity campaign, press releases, articles in major periodicals, advertisements. What can you tell us about what staff will be doing to publicize the fact that ICANN is augmenting representational opportunities?
That's an excellent question. At this point, the promotion has relied upon existing ICANN community members and attuning them and alerting them to the opportunities. I think with the expectation that they had the best connections to be able to reach out and publicize to others. There is nothing close to, and I'm not totally familiar with it, but not anything close to the larger campaign that you've mentioned with respect to new GTLD.
Okay, but this is an area which I think it would be ripe for discussion.
I agree.
Okay.
And any suggestions in that regard would be from any of the folks on this phone and from others that you talk to would be most appreciated.
On the page where you file public comment, and in private, just from the NCUC staff, when people do comments or when you acknowledge that their comments been published, there could be a statement saying that, you know, if they have ideas and wish to be involved, we're in the process of GNSL restructuring, check X webpage. Or at least indicate if they're willing to be contacted.
That's an excellent idea, Cheryl.
And as long as we're talking about web pages, I think I should bring it to staff's attention that the new draft stakeholder group charter still has not been posted to the GNSO improvements page.
This is Ken Bauer. That just got released yesterday, and we've got a task into the web admin on the ICANN staff to have that posted.
Okay, good. Very good. Thank you. And do we have Eric back on the line yet? No, I think he dropped off. Andrew, might you have any further thoughts with regard to...
Yeah, go ahead. Mainly in regards to, I think to get people to participate, they have to feel that they can actually make a difference or have some sort of say. Now, the current ICANN role seems to be put everyone in little groups, and each group will have their say about whatever they care about. But I think there is overlap, and I think that has to be acknowledged, that, you know, you do have people who are registrants, and they're going to have a specific set of things they really care about. You're going to have your general internet users, and they're going to care about, well, everything, really. From, you know, you're going to have some groups in there who want free speech, and you have another group who want to make sure people don't see stuff they don't want to see. And those groups are not going to get on with each other, but they each got valid concerns, and they kind of need a voice. And you got this throughout every, you know, you got your non-commercials, you got your commercials, you got individuals who are semi-commercial. You got a lot of overlap, and I think maybe if there was a way of representing people by saying, okay, we don't want two bites of the apple, as it was said, where you're having a voice through one group and having a voice for another group, But what if when a group does say, look, here's something we care about, this is our vote on the issue, rather than just saying, you know, we've got 50 members all saying, you know, agreeing to this petition for whatever issue, why not actually list like an ID number for each person? And that way it doesn't matter if they're in two groups. If they're in a individual participant group and a domain registrant group, and maybe even in a commercial group, they can have a vote on an issue. That person is only voting once. And so what you're seeing as a result is the number of individual people who care about a particular issue and they're having their voice heard. And that way it doesn't matter that they might be members of several groups. They're only being heard once on an issue. And that way you can also have the people who are against it speaking on an issue, you know, and someone's not going to be speaking for and against on the same thing. But at least it gets a way of having people heard. And you can still have your groups, but I think the concern of this overlap is going to be a problem because you always are going to have overlap. Always. I can't see a way around it.
This is Rob. If I can interject, that's a very important point that you've made there. And it comes up actually, or at least we've observed it in two contexts over the last several months. One is, I think, immediately what comes to mind when you're talking about that is potentially just overlap within a particular stakeholder group where someone might have interest in more than one constituency. It's also come up in the context of, you know, potential membership in different stakeholder groups. And then the third way it's come up with, and I didn't speak very precisely earlier when I used the term two bites at the apple, that was meant in the context specifically of the ALAC as an advisory committee, not individual at-large participants in ICANN. And the overall point that, as a staff member, I've had to emphasize in a couple of meetings when this has come up is the bylaws are very clear that no one is limited to membership in any, you know, to one specific group, but that people do have the capability to participate in a number of different groups at one time.
Rob, with that said, let me ask for a moment a hypothetical. One of the things that the bylaws points to is that a constituency is supposed to adequately represent on a global basis the stakeholders it seeks to represent. But what if the constituency that wishes to form is regional in nature? If, for example, the host of folks in the North American Regional At-Large group decided to form a constituency to ensure participation within the GNSO, is that allowable or is that not allowable given the current construct?
That's an excellent question, and if I were, you know, had a gun to my head and had to give you an answer, it would be, I think that is doable in the structure because it's the responsibility of the council as a whole to then ensure that the GNSO Council has global representation. I think there is a significant challenge, and this will obviously, if that group were to submit a petition, I'm sure that would be a subject of some discussion within the public comment period, because every petition will be subject to a 21-day public comment period. And I think that's a question that's being discussed at a number of different levels within ICANN, where right now I think if you see a number of the constituencies with three members each, at present they have the capability within their constituencies to have geographic diversity. But as you start chopping up these groups and having, you know, more constituencies, that's an open question. You know, how is that going to be organized at a stakeholder group level to at least in a general sense honor the geographic diversity expectations of the bylaws?
I think it makes sense, and some of the comments in the restructuring agreement suggested that an area, a region, could have its own stakeholder group or constituency based on certain commonalities in the users in that area, like a largely undeveloped area where access to internet services and education and training is an enormous issue, like Africa, or an area like Asia where the vast number of new internet users is a factor that needs to be represented. I'm a little nervous about North America because they, as a separate interest group, because so many of the constituencies have representatives from North America. But certainly Africa or Asia or India would be an important voice to hear as on behalf of non-commercial users, people who deal in the society, in the culture, who keep up on the literature and what's happening with users in their area.
The last question that I would ask the staff, and I think it's an important one, if you could guide us in terms of how fast should a new constituency effort be put together, as opposed to how fast should negotiations on the stakeholder group charter be done? I mean, if you had to weigh your preferences, what comes first?
This is Ross. I would say the constituency formation comes first.
Okay.
And if I can explain the answer, as you guys have picked up by now, I can never give a one-word answer to anything. and the reason for that emphasis, I think, is, and Cheryl, please, you've had the experience, and I really would love to get your feedback on this. The intent is that if you get in a notice of intent to form, you know, throw something over the transom. Do like Cheryl Preston did and make a decided effort to explain things and scope things out. But, you know, it's not a 50-page document, and it's not intended to be. It's intended to be a notice of, simply of intent. And what that will do is, you know, get our attention as a staff, justify our ability to, you know, provide you with staff resources and support, whether that's emails, telephone conversations, and all the rest, to be giving you ongoing advice about the next steps, how things are going, and having that constant dialogue. We're delighted to have this conversation today. Once you get in a notice of intent to form, we can be talking much more about specific details, timing, strategy, how you would want to approach certain things. From another perspective, as Cheryl, I think you're seeing, with respect to these discussions coming up regarding the role of individuals in ALAC and the GNSO, is it gives you immediately some additional political standing to be able to say, look, I'm just not somebody who's walked in off the street. I've made the effort to, you know, explain what I'm going to do. I'm serious about this. And it really shows that extra level of intent that takes it up beyond the sitting around the coffee table and talking about it, which, for better or for worse, that's the impression that the community has until they see some more formal expression of interest. I will share with you that I have also talked with another group of players that publicly noted their desire to form a constituency in Cairo, and that's the city TLD community. They have also expressed an interest in filing a notice of intent and have shared that their goal would be to get something in the hopper by the Mexico City ICANN meeting. So a number of players are at least saying that they're willing to make the commitment, and I'd suggest to you guys, if you have, again, the concept of doing it, get in that notice of intent to form. It gives you that stronger political standing, not only for your own constituency discussions, but then subsequently, I believe, in the stakeholder group debates as well. Cheryl, I'd appreciate sort of your perspective and perhaps what you can share with folks. And please be as candid as possible in terms of whether you think you're getting adequate staff support, feedback, sharing of information. We'd really appreciate that feedback, and I think others would benefit from it.
Oh, I get excellent support if I write an email, ask a question, call. And part of the problem with all of this is making sure that you're up on the information and all that things aren't being set up and created and decided without full participation. And I think the idea that the staff has, it's in the board resolution about getting together a representative group of all of those interested parties, including the new potential constituencies, and letting them make some proposals and making those proposals available on all the lists is a great idea. I originally had six of my, I think most of them were in law and internet, cyber law, academics, get on the join NCUC and start participating on that list. And there's, as you all know, there's so much about the years of history, and we all know each other, and the inside talk and the jargon and really sort of hostile attitudes a lot of times that made it really difficult for them to want to participate. I'm a member of a lot of organizations as big as I can where people are, any new blood that's willing to come volunteer is very gladly and graciously included and put into the rotation of helping out with projects. You know, you do this working group and that one, and then you can do this and that. And I'm really thinking, I get great staff support, but what a couple of other ideas that have come to me is maybe if we could get some official ICANN welcome packet, or if the, you know, when I send to them and say, look, we'll be able to do this, we can form a new constituency, we'll be able to talk about these issues, and then I plug them into the NCUC list, and they just think it's hopeless. That's really daunting.
I'm at the airport in a few moments, so I really need to go, but thank you all very much for putting up with me. This is Carl. I got to go. Bye-bye.
Okay. Excuse me. This is Joop again. Before anybody else leaves, could I have a list of the people, or just mention your name, who would like to be invited for a petition or for a registrant's individual registrant's constituency?
Joop, you put my name on the list, please.
Danny?
Yes. This
is and Garth. Who else?
This is Garth. I'll be on.
That's Garth Bruin.
Yep. Okay. Garth. And who else?
Yeah, I'd love to be on it, but I don't think I actually own a domain name at the moment.
Well, get one. $6.
I don't actually own one.
I mean, that's the minimum entrance, I would say, for the registrant constituency. You have to have some skin in the game. Because you have to feel the problems that you get as a domain name registrant.
Most of the people on my list own their own domain name as well.
Hmm.
And
if you let them know of the formation effort, everyone is welcome. But it is essential that you are representative of the problems that domain registrants face with the organization that ICANN has set up.
Right.
And if I could just speak to that for a moment, and this is simply a personal note. I, for one, over the years, having been an NCUC member, have been horribly frustrated by that particular organization's unwillingness to deal with registrant issues.
Hmm.
And the most timely example is their abject failure to even put through a single comment during the entire 18-month cycle when we were dealing with the Registrar Accreditation Agreement amendments. So speaking as a registrant, I need to be able to throw my hat in to the ring with those that recognize there's a need out there that has to be addressed, and that a constituency
is Ken speaking?
Needed to attack those issues.
Is it Ken speaking?
This is Danny.
Oh, sorry. Gosh, I have trouble recognizing your voice. Yeah. So I have
Denny and Garth, and Andrew is going to get, I mean, let's say prospective domain name registrants would also be welcome, I would say. But I think it is an essential criteria for membership.
Yerp, I have a question. This is Garth again. Would registrars who own domain names be excluded from this group?
I think so. And I think we have to think of exclusions, because it is very easy for professional people who have the whole day or who are paid to participate in a group, like, for instance, ICANN staff, to hijack whatever has happened, whatever is proposed. I have seen these hijackings in other, local and national TLD organizations. And this is something I would, that would undermine the idea of genuine registrant representation. So, yes, we will have to exclude, professional people who might want to bend the agenda towards something that's different from registrants.
Earlier, we had Robert speaking about individuals that could be participating theoretically in multiple constituency environments.
I know.
Every time that I hear that mentioned, I think of one of our former board members, who we all know and love, Michael Pelage, who at one point in time was president of the registrar's constituency, simultaneously represented a registry. He's a consultant within the business constituency and participates in the intellectual property constituency. So it's certainly possible.
This is always the danger with representative organizations. We have to really think of a way that either the people will be excluded as members, such people, or that their influence can be discounted. Or I don't really see an easy solution, actually, for this, because the moment you start restricting, you also open yourself to manipulation. If you do not restrict, you also open yourself to manipulation. And I'm really only concerned in or interested in setting up a new representative organization when I have some idea that it's going to succeed in having the influence that it needs on policymaking with regards to the registrants.
Jupe, this is Rob Hogarth. I can't sign up to be a member of the constituency, but I would
think
like
you
to.
Could. No. but you can be of assistance, of huge assistance.
Exactly, and that's the context in which I'm speaking. I would be delighted to, under speed dial or email list, to provide advice on that, and please feel free to reach out to me at any time. The only contextual thing that I'd like to pick up in terms of what you were just saying is one of the overall expectations in the context of new constituencies is that they operate openly, transparently, and fairly, and to the extent that you can fashion it in a way that somehow manages that participation but keeps it open and transparent, I think you're in good shape.
Can I ask you about that, Robert? Because we've got a situation where currently we have a registry constituency with no publicly archived mailing list. The registrars have taken their mailing list and switched it to a private forum. The IPC used to have a mailing list, but now they've gone completely private. The BC never had an archived mailing list. So while it's great to talk about transparency in theory, if it's not being honored by the current constituencies, what kind of demands will be placed on the new constituencies?
The expectation going forward is that all constituencies, and this is one of the work teams that's being formed, will operate according to consistent practices, processes, and rules. And I would submit to all of you that as the new constituencies submit their reconfirmation documents, all of those will go on public notice and will be subject to public comment over a 21-day period. And read into that what you will, but to the extent that there are concerns or comments about any of those groups and a decided lack of being open, transparent, or fair, then that should be pointed out to the board.
Okay, but forgive me for asking, Rob, but I thought that the board resolution simply stipulates that the existing constituencies confirm their status. That's it.
Well,
that's the language that I read, anyway. then
the
public comments notwithstanding, the language about confirming status is really kind of vague, don't you think?
Yes, and so you can read it vague in an open way or in a more closed way. I think from a staff perspective, and Heidi, you said, correct me if I'm wrong, our internal discussions to date have interpreted that in the broader sense. My sense is that, you know, those petitions will be submitted. The board will evaluate them. The ICANN community will have an opportunity to comment on them. And the board will, you know, react to those comments appropriately. In addition, as part of the GNSO improvements effort, the board has endorsed the BGC recommendation that all constituencies operate according to these common principles of openness, transparency, and fairness. And so in the context of those work team efforts, expectations will be created that all constituency groups will be expected to adhere to going forward. That may take 6 weeks, 6 months. I'm not sure how long that process will take, but everyone's going to be held to the same standards going forward.
This is Ken Bauer. I'd like to jump in here, if I may. I have the board resolution in front of me, and the very first paragraph, it's all in short. It said that during November, December, and January, each existing constituency reviews its practices, operations, and charter documents as appropriate to evaluate its adherence to the requirements of Bylaws Article 10, Section 5, Subsection 3, which require that each constituency represent the interests of its stakeholder communities globally and operates to the maximum extent feasible in an open and transparent manner consistent with procedures designed to ensure fairness. It goes on, and there's paragraph two, and then it provides several different steps that need to go through, including a public comment period that Rob just alluded to. So I think the board was trying to be explicit with the constituencies that they intend to enforce these overarching principles that have not maybe received as much attention over the years as they should.
Okay, so you actually believe then that we're looking at the possibility of enforcement for the first time?
But if I can make an observation, this is Rob. Several of us on staff have already been accused of political naivete on more than one occasion. But, you know, we've still got, as new folks, still have those ideals, so please don't quash them immediately.
Okay, all right, point taken. Thank you for that. All right, look, we're getting close to the end of our session, so I'd like to simply ask for final comments from anybody that thinks that something has to be said.
Can I say something,
mm-hmm.
Cheryl? When you talk about registrants as Internet users in a non-commercial user constituency, what are the interests that you think they share? It seems to me, since most of the members of my group also have a domain name, that the way to organize constituencies maybe is to aim at particular shared interests or rather than just status. What is it that registrants, what kinds of interests that we could put in one constituency and then put consumers in one constituency and, you know, a way to divide a range of constituencies so that they don't hopelessly overlap and yet they reach most of the big areas of focus for Internet policy development.
May I speak to that, Cheryl?
Yes, please.
I think registrants have a common interest where it comes to the contracts that they sign with the registrars. And they would be served by contract stipulations that would protect their interests as domain registrants. At the moment, these contracts are drawn up by the registrars under guidelines by ICANN, and in the structure of these contracts, the interests of the registrant is not represented, and this goes for price gouging by registrars, the abuses of holding domain names hostage, abuses of transferring domain names. All the registrants share these concerns, whether they are commercial or non-commercial or individual or organizations. And so, as such, a registrant constituency would aim to represent specifically those common interests.
Right. That's a good. That's valid.
Okay. The last
and
question.
And can I ask?
Go ahead.
Sorry. One other question. Since I came on late. The December board resolution about putting together a coalition from ALAC and GNSO and the new constituencies to talk about the charter for the non-commercial stakeholders group, are there plans? Is that going forward? Or should we just do our individual constituency first and then try to come together from that perspective to reach some?
To be honest with you, Cheryl, I think what you're suggesting makes the most sense. I think all of us should be working on individual constituency formation efforts. We do know that the ALAC proper, together with the GNSO chair, is putting together a team to discuss the issue, and doubtless they will be interacting with our working group because we have, you know, within our mix the leaders of new potential constituency movements. So if we all focus on the simple things, beginning by drafting a notice of intent document, then moving on to the next step, working onto the charter, I think as long as we take it step by step and focus on getting it done in a reasonably timely fashion, we can all move, you know, into the Mexico and post-Mexico cycle and have constituencies put together. And in the course of all of this, we'll be able to thrash out the stakeholder group charter expectations.
Okay. And one other thing, if you all are looking at constituencies, if you let me know, then I can see if I know people or organizations that might be interested in your particular twist that I could forward to you.
Sounds good.
Oh, that sounds very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Danny, are you planning to attend the Mexico meeting?
I will not be at Mexico, no.
I will be there. This is Garth.
Okay.
I'm planning to be there.
Oh. All right, good.
Danny, you're invited.
You if I hear I can't stop speaking, I will listen. all right.
Okay, I think that wraps it up for today. I appreciate everybody's attendance on this call. Any questions or thoughts that come up, feel free to shoot a note either to the list or to me personally. And any issues, of course, that fall within the rubric of staff responsibilities, we've had on the call Rob Hogarth, Ken Bauer, Heidi Ulrich, and they are all reachable by way of staff@ICANN.org. Is that correct?
I would prefer, given the challenges of the ICANN email system, to just send it directly to robert.hogarth@ICANN.org.
Okay.
And maybe it might be useful, Danny, since you've got the connections with, you're the hub of all the various players, it might be helpful just a post-meeting email that just says, hey, these are the folks on the call, and here's how you can contact them.
Got it.
I am not on the Norelo list or the NCUC list. That was part of a function early on where, you know, I had to limit the fire hose that I was swallowing. From an ICANN perspective, but I'd be delighted to, you know, go through whatever process is necessary to get on those lists so that I'm plugged into your discussion.
Good. Well, welcome back. Garth, Carl, Andrew, any final thoughts?
No, I'm just glad to participate, and I've got some catching up to do, and this is a learning curve, but I'm glad to be a part of it.
All right, good. We'll stay in touch then.
Absolutely.
Okay, Andrew here. I wouldn't mind if some information on this notice of intent to form a constituency was posted to the list, if that would be handy.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew, we'll shoot you a note with the link to that document.
Thank you.
Okay, Danny, thank you very much for holding this.
Okay. And we'll look forward to another conference, perhaps in about a month's time, and we'll see how far along we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can do as much in writing in the meantime.
All right. Good.
Probably easier and less time-consuming.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Time is up. Thank you.
You
all very much.
Bye-bye, Cheryl. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Garth Bruin.
Left.
Rob Hogarth.
Left.
Cheryl Preston.
Left.
My name is Joop Teernstra.
Left. Left.
Ken Bauer.
Left.
Andrew McMeekin.
Left.
Adigo operator.
Left.
Danny.
Left.